celebrate that. Oh, glory to God. We celebrate. That's the truth. That is the truth. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, if you are one like me that wants, I want to learn everything I can from the Word of God. And of course, thank God we have a man of God that has taught us and all that. And, but there's also, you know, nothing replaces the Word, but these are study aids that we can go to and learn. And some of us might be a refresher course, if you can call it that, because some of you already have walked in these things. But I believe faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so I encourage to call the Holy Spirit and His gifts. As I said last week concerning Howard Carter, one of the men that was well used mightily in his time concerning the operation of spiritual gifts, a very knowledgeable man in the Word of God. And many of the people today, I would even dare say even Brother Hagin and Brother Mom and Dad Goodwin, all of them, really learn from this man also. So it's been kind of passed through the years of revelation knowledge. That, you know, when you think about some of these men back in the days, what we would call in the early 1900s or so, even later, late 1800s, and people begin to talk about the Holy Spirit or the power of God, Pentecostals were very much persecuted. It was unheard of. You know, I remember back in the revivals of in the early 1900s, William Parnham, that when he left those 40 students over there in Topeka, Kansas, and he had the Bible school, well, they heard rumors that there was something called speaking in tongues back in North Carolina. And somehow, you know, back in them days, they traveled by horse and all that kind of stuff. But somehow they heard that there was something like that taking place. So, you know, those were things that people even lost their lives as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. They were persecuted. So in when we came into what we call the 1900s in what the 20th century, then you begin to hear people like Howard Carter, that some of these people have been walking in some of these things that in America we had not heard as much. In England, I mean, that man was very used. Of course, we know people like Smith Wigglesworth and all these men. Of course, Smith Wigglesworth never wrote a book on his own. People wrote books about him, but he never wrote a book. So there's a lot of study aids out there that you know, I can recommend so many, but I think I appreciate that tongues beyond the upper room, because it really is like Miss Jerry. The comment is that it is answer a lot of questions about these things, because I believe, Cindy, yeah, which we need to refresh ourselves. We have to constantly be and refresh ourselves in the Word of God with faith. You know what? The faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So it's something, it's a lifestyle, isn't it? It's not, I begin to say, when we talk about faith, I'm kind of leery about saying we're going to talk about the subject of faith, because it's really not a subject. It's a lifestyle, you know? And so it is the life that we live every day of our lives. So praise God for that. Mama Joy, anything you want to say? Sure you do. Sure you do. You always got something to say. You're like me. You can always say something.
I can't.
That's not, by the way, thank you, Richard. The whole praise team.
We had fun.
Awesome. Amen.
We had fun. We had fun. We did. Yeah. I think one of the keys that has been unlocked to me in the last year or so, or maybe in the last year all put together, the bottom line came to me this year when we started studying this to teach it. I used to think, where do you go to get started in the manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And I think I taught myself when I taught that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal things to you. And you get into that by yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit and beginning to pray in the Spirit. And the more you pray in the Spirit, I've watched Sister Gail on Wednesdays a lot of times sit over at her desk and just pray in the Spirit all day. And just, I think, man, that woman's going somewhere. Just pray in the Spirit all day. And we get an assembly on Wednesday night, and 9 times out of 10, she would have a word from the Lord for this body. And so we make these gifts available through us by just submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit and staying into His presence. Now, since I have learned that, I will tell you another verse to that chapter, is that when you make up your mind to do that, everything on earth is going to break out in front of you to prevent that. Everything possible will come across your path to prevent that. But the way to begin to walk in this, I remember right after we started praying one Sunday, was it a Sunday morning? I guess it was. And I was over here just lost in the Spirit, just lost in the Spirit. And we had been praying up here for a long time. We'd been laying hands on some people. We'd been doing some things. And all of a sudden, I realized all of Mama Jo's girls had gathered around me. They just come up and they just were there, you know, like, what's going on? And I began to speak to them out of the Spirit, and it about blew me away. I began to tell them things that were to come. I began to tell them about what's about to come up in your life and the reason you need to press into this and the reason you need to know this and the reason you need to walk in this and go ahead and experience and you need to study this because this is coming to you and this is coming to you. And it just blows me away every time it happens. But that's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and explaining that and showing that's going to happen. And I went on, I must have gone on for 15 minutes, and then I turned around and some more people walked up and they started pulling on that anointing, and I went in for another 10 or 15 minutes just prophesying to them, well, this is going to happen and you're going to need to know this, and because this is going to happen in your life, you need to prepare yourself, and that's why you're here. It was just pouring out of me because I had submitted myself to the Holy Spirit. And so when you begin to get the knowledge of the giftings of the work of the Holy Spirit, the manifestations, begin to watch and you'll begin to see how easy it comes to pass, how easy it happens. So listen well tonight.
I love it. I love the Word of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 real quick. And we know we kind of touched on some of the, you know, what they mean and all that stuff. And we got a couple more that we need to cover. And then, you know, how many of you know that there's such thing as we minister in by precept and example. I think I can remember when I was a couple of churches that I've always been involved in local church. You know, I've always been in the local church. And I remember I was the associate pastor of a church up in north of Detroit, Michigan, place called Milford, Michigan, which is out by the Proving Grounds, they call it, you know, GM country. And we began to do similar to this, and I began to minister, and we had, in that church, we had on Friday nights. Because of the schedules that people had, it seemed somehow that Friday would work a lot better for them. And so I began to do this and began to preach and teach on the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I began to make room for people. We began to make room available for them. And we would pray in the Holy Spirit, and we say, you know, if you have a word from the Lord, just go ahead and obey the Lord. And, you know, how do we learn those things? Well, you know what? We practice them. And, you know what I love about the Holy Spirit? That even if you miss it, he's not going to thump you in the head. So, you know, that's how we learn, by allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us. And I believe that that God wants us to do that. And God wants you to, someone may say, well, you know, talking about Miss Gail, you know, that I have looked back in the process when Pastor had gone to the hospital and all that. And two things many things. I mean, where can you put everything in the proper place? But I can remember Pastor, one of the most outstanding miracles, that man was alive on Wednesday night and teaching the Word of God. It's just, if you look in the natural, you just can't even, you can't go there. You don't understand it. And my understanding is that it had begun from that Monday. So the man was in that sense, was having a heart attack from Monday all the way. And yet he came out there and stood, and I'll never forget it, fight the good fight of faith. And he began to talk about hold on to eternal life. And he began to, you know, and he said, if you do those three things, he says, you'll win every battle in life. And I'm thinking, I begin to think about it. But another thing I think about is one of the most, in all we receive, all prophetic word that comes from the Lord, don't we? We receive everyone. But if I think back, I look back to the prophetic word that Miss Gail, that very Wednesday night. The word that was given was one of, I'll tell you, that was a powerful, God was showing us, was telling us something, little that we know, Miss Michelle, what we're coming into, but the Holy Spirit was preparing us. And I've always said this, the Holy Spirit never surprises you. It might seem that way sometimes, But I know many times that somebody would say something to me by the Holy Spirit, whether it be through a prophetic utterance or just conversation. I'm thinking, well, you know, and all of a sudden, if I pray about it, and I go, well, let me just go before the Lord. And all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me, he said, remember, I spoke that to you before. Why? Because the Holy Spirit, it'll always be something on the inside of you, always on the inside of you, that'll confirm the word. The Holy Spirit never, it's in agreement with the word. And everything we do, you know, and that's what I said, that we're not doing away with the word or the teaching of the word. It is what we're doing is the Holy, in other words, the gifts of the Spirit is not doing away with the word. And because I believe that it takes the Holy Spirit, the Word, and the Holy Spirit to do that. Now, because of time, Romans, 1 Corinthians 12, we read that last week, and I'll read verse 1. They said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, that word, we all know that word gifts was added there by the translators. I guess they thought they could help us. But if we read it, we'll say, now concerning spiritual, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, there's other translations. You know, I've told you I'm kind of fanatic about other translations sometimes. And now, I don't try to memorize Scripture, okay? I don't. I've never gone out there and said, well, I'm going to memorize it. It's something that I've meditated on. And so many times I've had people come to me and say, Brother Alfonso, sometimes you stand up and just Scripture comes out of you. Well, it's not memory. It is something that we've done, like many of you. You know, you'll be speaking with somebody and in a conversation or something, and all of a sudden you'll minister something to them, or the word comes out, and many times you know the address of it. You know, we were kind of having fun the other day over at the hospital, you know. They were trying to find Scriptures, and all they had to do is ask Brother Alfonso, and I said, oh, I know, that's in First. You know, well, it's not because I memorized that. I have been putting the Word of God the minimum of 30 to 31 years. I try to do that every day. You know, sometimes I might miss here and there because of different things that I do, but I always meditate on that. So it's not memory. It's something that is just inside of my spirit, the same way as in your spirit. And so, but it says right here, now concerning the things that pertain to the Holy Spirit, another translation said, I do not want you to be misinformed. Paul, and I've said this just by recapping some of the things that we've said last week, Paul is dealing with a whole different group of people here in the city of Corinth. Most of you know, because he's dealing with people where it was a seaport area where it was being influenced by a lot of different religions. And by it meant there was a lot of supernatural manifestations that were taking place in their midst. So Paul began concerned about it, and it's like any pastor, any man of God that would begin to see things get off of the Word of God. So he had to what? Come to set things in order. Because, you know, I was thinking about that. You know, that's what he came to do. Look at in the 11th chapter, look at the last verse. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, and that ye come out together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come. In other words, he's about to set things in order because there's things taking place. He found out some of the things that were taking place. So he said, oh, wait a minute. There is manifestations. I would imagine that there was things happening. There was the Holy Spirit. There were things that were not the Holy Spirit. How many have ever seen that take place in services? Where you know the Spirit of God is moving and something changes. And you go, no, wait a minute. Something's not right. Now, sometimes we might not know everything. And we don't have to, really, because as long as we pick it up here in our inner man, the umpire, the Holy Spirit will say, nope, that's not right. And we don't have to be upset about it. We don't have to, you know, throw a fit about it because, well, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. No, listen, we eat what's good. If something that we can benefit from, then we'll just chuck away the things that we know is not right, and, you know, we take what's good, right? So we do that. Now, Paul begins to set things in order. Why? Because, you know, that word has become very popular in this church, right? He's setting things in order, and that goes with every area of life. We must have our lives in order. And so by doing that, Paul comes in and begins to teach them about the order of how the gifts of the Holy Spirit should operate in a local setting or in a congregation or in a church. And he begins to teach, and he begins to tell them. And then we go all the way down to verse 8. Now watch what it says. He says, let's read verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, the prophet with all. You know, if you are born again, blood-bought believer, and have been baptized or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you are a candidate for God to use those gifts in your life. Now, the gifts are to our profit, for our benefit. We understand that. Now, and so, but anyone that's born again, Richard, I believe they're a candidate if they make themselves available to the Holy Spirit, as Mama Jo was saying. When you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, you know, He wants to use people. He wants to use willing vessels that are willing to submit themselves to the Holy Spirit, and whatever it is. Something very interesting. Have you ever heard somebody try to explain the last verse of that? They said, but choose the best gift. And people say, well, prophecy is the best gift, or this is the best, or tongues is the best gift. No. The best gift is what is needed at that moment. That's what we're talking about. In other words, by you praying in the Holy Spirit and continually being filled, and you know, there's many benefits, right? We in the book of tongues, Dad Hagin underlines and makes clear to all of us the different benefits and purposes of speaking with tongues and how important that is in the life of a believer, and how it's not just intercession. You know, that's part of the Holy Spirit. You know, and that's where people get flaky, because they think, well, all we got to do is just pray in the Holy Spirit and intercede. Well, no, that's part of it. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that helps us, pray through the will of God. And if He chooses to get into intercession, well, that's the Holy Spirit that helps us do those things. But we can't make it happen, right? Now, it begins to talk about, in verse 8, we talked about it last week. He says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith by the same Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit is such, He is so awesome. Now, He has given these nine, I call a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, to the body, to the church. I like to call them supernatural weapons. These are supernatural weapons. God is what? The Lord Jesus has He's the administrator. And he has deposited into every believer, or they are available for every believer to be used by them. And someone said, I think it was Miss Jan a minute ago, said, some of the things that I remember is how Brother Hagin, because it wasn't, may I say this to you? The reason God used Brother Hagin was not because he's a prophet. I mean, you can be a prophet and get flaky real quick. Have you noticed in the Bible that God calls prophets false sometimes? They're prophets, but they're false prophets. You know? And so my point in this, that's why we must have the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. You will never be deceived or led astray by any preacher if, number one, if you've been putting the Word, depositing the Word on the inside of you, and you constantly pray in the Holy Spirit. You'll never be deceived. Because why? That umpire is always working. And when you hear something, someone say, well, this, and you go, well, that's not scripture. I've heard a lot of people here, in other places. But you know, we don't throw fits over it. We just say, well, praise God. You know, I take what's good. But it's the Holy Spirit that does it. See, the Word itself, what does the Bible say? The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In order for the Word to become alive, we must make ourselves available or allow the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. Because that's where revelation comes, by the Holy Spirit. So he begins to talk about the different gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gift of faith. We talked about that, and we're basic. We didn't go into details about it. But we know, I think we're acquainted with some of these gifts, Mama Jo. We're not really acquainted with other ones. For example, one of the things that we don't see that much is the gift of working of miracles. We don't see it as much. Now, it's available, and it's there. One thing that I find very interesting, that out of all the what we call the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, two did not operate in the Old Testament. Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now, someone said, well, you know, it couldn't be because Jesus didn't operate on that. Or, you know, and of course, I understand it, but Jesus, in his ministry, was operating as an Old Testament prophet, as well as John the Baptist. Because a lot of people would have problems and say, well, you know, John the Baptist didn't speak in tongues. Or Jesus, well, in his earthly ministry, He did not, it wasn't under the new covenant, it was under the old covenant. And the Spirit of God came upon people in the Old Testament. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Well, Brother Hagin talks about that, and I've had that. Have you ever, you know, we know we are carriers, right? We're containers. The home of the Holy Spirit is inside of us, right here. Our spirit man has been born again, right? Now, we carry the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of glory, the Spirit of, you know, the resurrection power of the Lord, the same Spirit that raised Christ. I mean, we know it carries that. Now, we have the presence of God in us. We carry that every day. But I know there's also another manifestation. It's called the Spirit of God coming upon us. That's still an operation today where someone might be. You know, my wife had an interesting question today. She said, honey, sometimes we might be quiet and all that. Well, I'm not quiet, but she'd be quiet. that would never happen. But I'll be gone. And she said, honey, how do you know when the anointing is on you? I thought, that's a good question. I said, I don't know. I just know it. You know, it's not something that I can say, well, no. But here's the thing about it. You begin, as you develop and begin to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, as you begin to pray and be acquainted with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, you'll come to a place that you'll recognize the different kinds of anointing. I said to her, I said, baby, how many times have you been up, you know, in praise and worship, whether it be in your local church or something, and all of a sudden, you know, sometimes you go, now, no one is more critical than ourselves, for ourselves, you know? And sometimes, and I know it happens to people, anybody for that matter, but praise and worship, sometimes you're going, I go, man, it was okay. There's something in that, you just go, well, I just wasn't really. And then there's other times, man, the first time, first note you hit, it seems like the anointing, and every note, every word you say, and it's like becomes pregnant with the Spirit of God, and you go, whoa. And I said, how many times have you felt that, honey? When there's a song, all of a sudden you go, something changes in the realm of the Spirit. Now, I learned through the years, many times I know, now, first of all, because part of the responsibility that the Lord gave me when he called me to the ministry, as he said, I'm giving you a healing ministry. Now, we all can pray for the sick, but he said, I'm going to give you a special anointing for healing. Well, you talk about Brother Roberts, he talked about his right hand. Dad Hagin talked about, you know, in the palm of his hands. And many people talk about, well, sometimes I just, it's like this lady one time in down there in by Victoria, one of the areas there. I can't think of the name right now, but yeah, someone there in the play anyway. But I went over there, and this lady says, Brother Alfonso. No, he said, Preacher, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm going, okay. She said, if you see me in the service tonight, and my hand goes up in the air, and it starts going like this, that means God is here. Said, okay, you know, that's cool. You know, it's okay, ma'am, thank you. Guess what? I'm preaching halfway, and her hand is not up there. And I just think, oh, my God, God's not here. No, I didn't say that. But you know what? Another way people have all these weird ideas. No, it's something. How do you teach people how to walk in the anointing? It comes by you personally. The man of God that has taught us. Remember the prophetic word he gave? We must what? Make room and prepare for the anointing. Now, little that we know, there was going to be a totally different way God had in mind for us. Some of you have become so sensitive to the things of the Spirit. Why? One of the reasons, you prayed more in the Spirit than you've ever prayed in a long time. So what? It becomes what? It makes your spiritual senses. You're exercising your spiritual senses, and you become more sensitive to things of the Holy Spirit, more than any other time. Well, it only comes by what? Having that constant fellowship in the Holy Spirit for yourself. Now, he talks about all these gifts. You know, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, faith. And verse 9 says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing. You know, they're divided in three different categories, and I don't have time to go. It's impossible to cover every facet of that. But there's what they call revelation gifts, three gifts there. There's what they call vocal gifts, you know. And so there's all these different things, the vocal gifts. There's the power gifts, you know. There's the revelation gifts. And so they're divided in three categories. I would encourage you to get Papa Hagen's book on the Holy Spirit and meditate on it. And just refresh your heart and the revelation you already have. Our man of God has taught us. I don't know about you. I'm of the opinion that you have got to go over and over. In other words, we can have what I call a continuing revelation of what we already know to be the truth. And you know what? All of us have experienced that. There's things I thought I knew many years ago, Miss Jerry. And years go by and I go, wow, you know what I really learned? You know, like David. David realized he was anointed king. You would have asked him even 2 minutes before he got to the revelation. You would have asked, David, are you the king? Well, sure. But he really didn't have a revelation of it. And what? He did not become a threat to the kingdom of the enemy until the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel. Then the Philistine came out to seek what? They came after David. So, and I'm not into that, you know, thinking that just because we're Christians. That God didn't put you on this earth so that the devil can have his way whenever he wanted in your life. Absolutely not. He gave us what? Supreme authority that we're supposed to be in charge. We're supposed to be the ones telling the devil what to do. Put him in his place, so to speak. So he goes on and begins to address these things, and he talks about the word of wisdom, and we covered that. And then there's one really interesting, there's two gifts that I said that I didn't mention that last week, but one of them is the diverse kinds of tongues. You know, and you can go there and research that. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures because you guys have been taught more than, you know, a lot. But as you read, there's this, let's read verse 9, and then we'll go down the line. In to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Now, you know, we've read in the book tongues, the purpose of tongue and the benefits of tongue. Now, the word diverse, if you notice, it was added there. It's italicized there. That word, I guess, for some reason, Ms. Michelle, I think some of the translators back in England thought that they could help us, you know. But the bottom line is that word was not there. It was added by the translators. And so, and really what it means, it talks about, it means kinds of tongues. Now we understand the purposes. You read it, go to that book. If you haven't bought the book, I encourage you to get it because they'll tell you the purposes and the benefits of praying in tongues. And now that gift was not in operation in the Old Testament. But why? Because that gift was not for that dispensation. It was for the church age was meant to be that. Now think about it. That means you and I can have communication. In some places, people call it the ministry of tongues. They use that word, ministry of tongues. You know, well, there's many benefits to it. There's edification, right? You can edify yourself. You can build yourself. Have intimacy with God. I mean, they're worshiping God. You know, there's many, many facets to the benefits of praying in tongues. Now, you don't understand what you're saying. And we don't, but because it's not about the intellectual thing. It's about the Spirit. And that's why I said the spiritual things can't be taught. They have to be caught. You know, I don't know. But to finish out with my wife and I were talking about, I said, well, honey, I don't know. I just know sometimes I'll be up there. And when I'm hooked up with pastor, sometimes I can tell sometimes when that prophet's anointing can't comes on him. Why? I've been around it. I've been around long enough in that type of atmosphere that you can tell. I was watching that, that I got to give you that site. I don't know if Adolfo gave to me, this site has all some of the videos of Mom and Dad Goodwin of when they were with Howard Carter and all these things about, and they talk about, and I was watching one where Mom back in 1984 they were in Believers Convention up in Fort Worth, And I saw Mama. I almost started crying. Oh, she looks so beautiful. And she's sitting out there, Billy Branham is next to her, and she is ministering by the Holy Spirit, man, speaking in other tongues, and sometimes it was a mixture of English and all that kind of stuff. And Billy Branham was just prophesying and interpreting what the mind of the Spirit, or the interpretation of what the Spirit was saying. And I sat there and I went, oh my God, where have all this has gone to? Where these types of manifestation, and I'm talking about the whole body of Christ. I can remember, you know, when my ex-wife used to live right, I can remember that. You remember Mom and Dad Goodwin? His eyes were closed. Never looked at one time while Mama was out there, and he cush up a copaya, but hey, again, and she would be, and sometimes she walked people, and she have actions with her tongues. And you would watch, then you think, and Dad would be out there, just lost in the Spirit. And all of a sudden, when she would finish, Dad would come in and do exactly the same moves, the same actions that Mama had just done. Never even blinked, and I never even saw what she did. The same spot, the same place they walked. And you go, wow. Well, see, we'd never seen things like that. So, in some circles, that would look to be, well, that's kind of a weird thing. Well, it's weird because we've never been exposed to those things. But they nevertheless, see, they would do those things. Well, you know what? I grew up in that. I grew up. I spent time with Mama. I mean, you know, you never knew with Mama Goodwin. You never knew. You would have better stay plugged in, because in one moment she'll be praying in tongues. And Alfonso, honey, you need to go on your knees right now. Jesus is standing right next to you, and you didn't question. Oh yes, Jesus. Oh Lord. Oh, you know. And I mean, it was a common thing. I watched many times where Jesus would stand right in front of Mama, and they're having a conversation, and you can sense the presence of the living Christ in that place. And I mean, I didn't know how to respond to them, Mama. I just would go and go on myself, pray in the Holy Spirit, and I would weep and would cry, and I didn't know if I wanted to bow. I didn't know if I wanted to cry. I knew I cried, but I didn't know what else to do, because such a holy, and she's having this beautiful conversation with the Lord, 15, 20 minutes at a time. And then after she get out of that, there always was somebody there that knew how to interpret. Now, one is diverse tongues. The other one is interpretation of tongues. And that gift operated to many people. And guess what? I mean, she would be doing, and all of a sudden she would come back, if you can say it that way. Come back to, and then she would begin to say, well, Jesus just woke up, and she began to speak in tongues. And hear somebody interpret, and they would interpret what she just got through talking to the Lord about. Wow. Guess what? I was around it. See, you get around the anointing of certain people. I'm talking about the godly way, right? There's a lot of people that want to hang around preachers for the wrong reasons. I'm talking about you're there because you want to submit yourself to the Lord and submit yourself under the ministry, because you're there to learn and to be trained and to be mentored by somebody. And you get around somebody, you know, and again, not every preacher is everybody's cup of tea, okay? I understand that. But I have been told many times, as I minister by the Holy Spirit sometimes, I've heard people, you know, we've been wanting to have Brother Dufresne come to this church. He said, for years, and we haven't been able to. He said, tonight, we had him here. And we're talking about, he said, you flow just like him. Well, wait a minute. I'm thinking, well, that's a compliment, at least for me it is. I thought, well, my goodness. And then I realized that in my early days, I remember the day that there was 3,000 people in that building. Buddy Harrison, Larry Huggins, Bob Lemon, Willie George, Terry Mice, anybody that was anybody that we've known within what we call the Word of Faith movement was there. And 3,000 or 4,000 people are there. I'm sitting on the fourth row of that. Just came in, sitting there. And this Ed Dufresne begin to ask the night he walked off the platform in midair. I heard back in the I used to hear about Brother Hagin talking about this man used to dance out on the platform in midair. I thought, well, that's pretty good, you know. But I never thought I'd see anything like that. And probably, I don't know if I ever see it again. But I know this. Brother Dufresne was ministering by the Spirit. And I'm sitting right there. I didn't take my eyes off me. I watched him. And I go, oh, my God. And I said, and I told my ex-wife, I said, watch, watch. And he walked, never missed a beat. I would say at least 5 to 8 feet away from the pulpit in midair. He's prophesying, ministering by the Spirit. I mean, there's people, Buddy Harrison. I mean, they're all praying in tongues. And when he came back to the pulpit, never missed a beat, mama. Not one time came in. People ran to the altar to get saved. I guess I would too. What? That was what? That was a sign from God. That was a wonder from God. But he did it. Well, that night, he started walking. He started doing his walk, you know, talking in tongues. And I sat there and I told my ex-wife, I said, he's coming to get me. Now, there's 4,000 people there. And I said, he's coming to get me. How did I know that? The Holy Spirit. I said, he's coming to get me. And sure enough, he walked all the way down. And Buddy Harrison, Larry Harrison, they're all laughing, you know. Bob Lemon going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he went, and the moment he touched me, Brother Richard, it was like a cloak came, a mantle came all over me. I went, whoa. And I mean, I can hardly walk. Went up there. Here's what he did. He ministered to me. Bob Lemon interpreted, talked about the office of the prophet, talked about certain things about my ministry. And I said, well, you know, praise God, I'll receive it. And I said, thank you, Father. And I turned around and he said, wait a minute, God's not done with you. I said, yes, sir. And I went like this. And he tackled me. And he landed on top of me. But here's the thing about it. When he landed on top of me, it's like you drop a coin in a machine, you hear it drop. Something from that man's spirit dropped inside of me, just like that. And I said, Lord, what is it? He says, I'll show you in a later day. I said, okay. Never did. A few weeks later, I'm in a church in the Panhandle of Texas. I'm ministering. Never. The first time, Brother Richard, I mean, I know the anointing as far as the laying hands on people and all that, but I have never walked in that realm. I'm telling you, the moment I stepped in that church property, I'm in another world. I don't know how to explain it, but I know is the prophetic, the prophet's anointing. I didn't know that as much back then. When I walked, it was like I was aware of everything going in the realm of the Spirit. I don't know how to explain it, but I just knew. And I'm walking the door, and people, now I've only had that happen maybe twice in my ministry. I wish I could make it happen. But I walk in the door, and hear what's happened. When people try to shake my hand, fall on the power of God. People couldn't get close. I mean, it was like people falling all over the place, and I'm as surprised as them. But it was the presence. Well, I get up there, and guess what? I begin to operate the same way he did. Well, I want to be honest with you, it scared me. I said, I'm just a Bible student that I just graduated from Bible school. This is not supposed to happen to me. But you understand? Although I went to Rhema in 1980. I was already been serving the Lord 6-7 years before I went there. I was in ministry before that, before I went to Rhema. Well, I called Brother Larry Huggins. I said, Larry, I said, man, I said, let me tell you what happened. Because when I stood there in that church, the Holy Spirit said to me, you're standing, that he says, that deposit was the deposit of the office of the prophet. And I went, okay. And he said, and you stand in that office. Remember the Lord, in Scripture, the Bible says that Jesus perceived their thoughts. Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been in a service where you know what somebody's thinking? It happened to me. That scared me to my enchiladas out of me. Because I lit Ms. Michelle. I haven't never had that happen to me again. But that night, I heard people. I mean, I'm standing right. And you know what? The scary part, I knew who they were too. In a crowd of 300 or 400 people, I knew exactly. And without even realizing, I'm not talking about the mind. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I heard somebody said, huh, well, who do you think you are coming and talking like that in my church? And I stopped and I went, huh. And before I realized, I'm walking, and I'm walking like this. I said, you know, the Holy Spirit just told me what somebody just thought. And I'm walking, and I walked right in front of this, because the Lord told me who it was. I walked in front of this lady, and I said, huh, here's what somebody just thought. And I went like this. Somebody just said, huh, who do you think you are coming and talking like that in my church? Who do you think you are? I said, I'm God's man. Who are you? And I walked out. Never have done that again. Never. Hope. never have to do it again. But it happened. I came back. Same thing. Huh. See if we ever have you back in our church. And I went, you know what? Somebody else just stopped. And I'm walking. I went all the way to the back. One of the church board members. I walked up to him and I said, huh. Somebody just stopped. See if we have you back in our church. I said, it's not your church, sir. It's God's church. And I walked back. I'm telling you, see, people talk about the prophet. They don't know what they're asking for. Do you know why pastor makes people not only nervous, but he's intimidating? I'm not talking about flaky stuff. Real prophets are not well received. Because a real prophet will always go against the grain. All these guys that are out there prophesying every good little sweet little thing, they want your money, baby. They want a good offering. Huh? But when you speak, you know what? I tell people this, Ms. Michelle. I walked up in the church up in Tyler, Texas, and there's a story behind it, but I won't go. I went like this, and I shook this lady's hand like that, and God told me she's having an affair with her business partner. I never said a word, Brother Richard. I never said, the Lord showed. No, I never said a word. Never said a word. All I did was, I said, and I looked and I said, you know I know it. Take care of it. It'll be all right. I walked out. Never said a word to anybody. I've tested this. I've watched it in my own spirit. I've been in groups just like just talking fellowship. And I go into a room and God says, see that person over there? They got this. They got this. They got this wrong. I never said it to anybody. Now, at that time, I told my ex-wife, I said, now, make a note of this. See, I was being trained back there. And I'm still being in training. But God would train me about, give me insight about, we talk about discerning the spirits. I walked up to people like this, and the moment I shake their hand, I knew exactly what was going on. I was in Houston, Texas. This lady said, beautiful young lady. I'm like this. You know how sometimes, and especially me, you know, I just want to lay hands on people or slap them, do whatever. And I went, and I was supposed to put my hand, and God says, don't touch her, just like that. And I went like this. And I said, Lord, and I just prayed, you know, nothing else worked. Praying the Holy Spirit. Hold up, I said, Lord, what? And the Lord said to me, she hates man. Don't touch her. She hates man. And then she told me the spirit that was on her. I just went like that. And so I said, you come and minister. And we did that. And all of a sudden, I stood in front of her. And all of a sudden, she changed from this beautiful young lady to a total devil. Well, I didn't want to deal with that in the sense of unless it would begin demonstrating, you know, then you take care of it. But I had one of the elders there. I said, brother, you know how to cast out devils? Yeah. I said, do you know how to cast out devils? And then one of the other guys says, one of the associates says, I do. I said, take her out there and cast the devil out of her. They took her out of the room and set her totally free. Well, how do I know that? Number one, the word and spending time with the Holy Spirit constantly. You just know when those things come. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, discerning the spirits, tongues, you know. How many of you ever been with someone, and maybe in the prayer line up here, and you can't say a word, all you do is pray in tongues? Now, sometimes that changes because sometimes diverse tongues could come, you know, quiet. You just quiet and pray and pray. And, you know, I watch some of y'all. Some of us are boisterous, you know. Some of that. You know. but as I said, God used people according to their personality, you know. And we do those. I watch Mama Jo. She's more of a, you know, not boisterous, but she prays and there's power in what she's doing. I'm loud, you know, man. I'm loud. Richard is more quiet, praising the Holy Spirit. But just as much power, anointing is going out of him than it does when somebody like me that goes, you know, I mean, just because we say it loudly doesn't mean there's more anointing or more power. It is when we do it, what? In the Holy Spirit. Now, it talks about discerning of spirits, talks about diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Now, let me share this with you. There's a number of gifts that operate. For example, you look at pastors, there's some gifts that operate there. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You know, you see those, you know, discern the spirit. You'll see some of that. Now, Jesus, or the Lord, had the Spirit, what we call without measure, right? Now, we as a corporate body, I think we come up to that. I'm talking about we're all in one body here. I believe that that unlimited realm that Redeemer walked in, I believe in a setting like this where we're in unity, Brother Richard, anything could happen by the Holy Spirit. From miracles to, why? Because there's power in agreement. But we're limited because we're human, right? And so we know in part, we prophesy in part, but we do know certain things by the Holy Spirit. Now, interpretation of tongues is one of the gifts that operates through me. Real strong. I would say in most times, not all the time, I would say most times, if Brad gets up here and gives a tongue, I can interpret that. Not because, it's just one of the gifts. Those one of the gifts that operates through me. Pastor can get up and give a tongue, and I can just say, or people that I'm in relationship with, with Bob Lemon. Now, remember the old saying, three tongues, three interpretations, that's it. You ever heard that? You know, when a prophecy is given, oh, that's it. You know, in some Pentecostal circles, I remember I was with a pastor that something like that happened. And gave three tongues, somebody interpreted, and then another tongue came by, and he said, well, glory to God, there was supernatural intercession for all these prophecies. You know why? His tradition, his religion told him you couldn't do that. Well, we know that's not what the Bible's talking about. Larry Huggins and I, Bob Lemon and I, Brother Dufresne, we have stood for hours back and forth, tongues and interpretation, ministering to people in services like that. Here's one thing I want to give to you. You cannot prophesy beyond the level of word you have inside of you. You can't. Now hear me out. That's where people get in trouble. Because they stand this when they get on their own human thing, and they open themselves to familiar spirits. I've seen it, y'all. Believe me, I have seen someone start in the power of God, and a few minutes later, they're no longer the Holy Spirit. There's familiar spirits, and you say, how can that happen? I'm telling you, they open the door for it. I've seen it happen. So that's why everything we do, our foundation is what? The Word. You cannot get out of the Word of God. And listen to me. How many of you know there's a flow of the Holy Spirit begins to develop here? When Richard and Michelle and the praise team begins to praise, and they sought the Lord what they need to sing. They don't come here and say, well, I think this is a good one today. How many times have you had to change your songs when the Holy Spirit comes? And sometimes you then go, well, the list just went out the door. Why? Because what? They're being led by the Holy Spirit. Here's what I tell people. Praise and worship can make or break your service. That's why you can't have competition. That's why they got to be in agreement. That's what I love about our praise and worship. Last night, it was awesome. We just almost in tears when we were coming back home, y'all. We're honored to have you there. We were honored to have you there. And just, our family, you know. It's not. And you know what the people told me last night? They said, Pastor Alfonso, these people are not visitors. These people, they're like our family. I said, we are. Well, we've been sowing that to them. In the 4 or 5 weeks we've been sowing. This is, we're not separate from Austin. We're a family church, and you know, yes, we have our own dynamics, but we're the same. We're the same. And so they're beginning to see, the more you say it to them, the more they catch it. Well, it was beautiful. But how many times do you have to go boom? Why? See, you're in constant fellowship with the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you just know how to make that adjustment. And you know what? The people back there, they'll just flow with you. Well, the same thing with me. I could be up here, and all of a sudden, there's some, doing what we call prayer, and when we're interceding and praying, sometimes that prophecy and anointing came on me, and I began to do things that I hadn't done in a long time. It began to surface back up there. Well, Richard, I wish I could make it happen all the time. I can't do that. See, here's the difference between what is so-called prophetic movement out there and true prophets. For me, I can prophesy whenever people want me to. And yet the prophetic believe that they can prophesy to anybody. No, and are they all wrong? No, there's some wonderful things that take place. And I take what's good. I don't just say, well, they're all wrong. I just know that that's an aspect. I've been invited to speak in prophetic conferences. And when I've had a pastor call me and I said, well, let me just make something clear to you. When I come there, I'm most likely going to say things you guys don't agree with. So I'm giving you the opportunity to withdraw the invitation because, and you know, true men of God, here's what they do. Well, Brother Alfonso, if we're wrong, then bring us the word. How are we going to know the truth? I said, okay. And sure enough, I go there. I watch guys prophesy to everybody. That, well, I can't do that unless the Holy Spirit tells me. I've gone for months never prophesied to anybody. And then sometimes I go in a place, and man, that's all I do, just move by the Holy Spirit and begin to move and minister things to people. You know, last week in the church over there, Sheila got up there and began to, flow in the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, I had never seen this girl. And all of a sudden, man, that prophet said, only come on me and begin to give tongues and interpretation to her. And God just ministered to that young lady. Well, it comes by the Holy Spirit. Tongues and interpretation is very important in the church. But, you know, we're acquainted, for example, like with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, you know. Faith, yeah, it's involved sometimes because the prophet speaks. When he speaks, you know, he's speaking things into the Spirit. So that's involved. Gifts of healing, yeah, we see that. So, you know, but what about, I'm talking about the working of miracles. Creative miracles. I don't know about y'all, I'm hungry for that. I'm hungry. I'm decreeing that. You know what? That's what we're decreeing. We know he's whole already, but I'll tell you what, we're decreeing new heart. And you know what? I'm telling you, as far as faith is concerned, we got it. It's there. You know? But because they're available to us. Now, you are a candidate for that. Each and every one of you. You know, one thing I want to remind you of something. It doesn't have to be thus saith the Lord for it to be God. I'll tell you something. I will say this. I told Mama Jo this. I said, you know, that daughter of yours, she's a pretty powerful lady. I watched Miss Michelle get up there. And in 5 minutes, man, tell everything we've been trying to say for 3 hours. Don't you hate people like that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, she can get up here and just bring 5 minutes of something the Holy Spirit has honed in on and set the pace for things in a service or in a, and you go, yep. Now watch. You know where we stay in order? When the Holy Spirit begins to, what? The anointing comes from heaven, right? Comes here and it goes to the congregation. It never comes from the congregation to the pulpit. Never. It always comes from heaven to the vessel to the people. Now, anything, whenever we see the Holy Spirit begin to develop a particular flow, may I say something to you? Every prophetic word and everything that happens must complement what the Holy Spirit has begun to do. Anything outside of that, it might not be wrong what people say, but if it's out of what the Spirit is doing, it's out of order. I've stopped services in my church when people begin to get that way. I say, hold it. No, I said, No. Let's stay plugged into what God wants to say. See, I'm more interested in staying in the flow. Here's what you got to be careful about when we have a church that can be prophetic here. If we're not careful, if we're not mature, we start getting in competition. We try to outdo one another. Thank God we don't have this in the church, but that's those things that we have to watch for. There's a lot of people. Listen, Richard, you know, I think about Brian. I tell you what, he out-preaches me, out-teaches me 1,000 times. That's not a shame to me. That man has a gift from God that he can stand up. I just go, my wife, she has more notes with him than she does with me. No, it's not, it's a compliment. You understand what I'm saying? Because I know my place. I know where I stand as far as the office of where I'm called to. It doesn't threaten me one bit. But I'm going to tell you something. That young man will be a threat to a lot of preachers. Because, you know what? I'll close with this. I was in upstate New York one time. And now, for me, it has to be supernatural sign and wonder that I'll teach the Bible. In the way, you know, I'm not talking about just preaching, teaching. I'm about actual teach the word. I've had that many times, the Holy Spirit come on me, and I'll teach, and people say, "We never heard you teach." I say, "I never had myself." What are you talking about? You know, it was just as the Holy Spirit, okay? I ministered 4 days in this church. Now listen to this. Miss Michelle, the pastor's right next to me. And three of the ladies came in there and said, "Brother Alfonso, that was so powerful. We've learned so much this 4 days. Oh, my God." And here's what they said. "In the last 4 days you've been here, the pastor's sitting there, standing there." She said, "We've learned more about God and His Word than we have in the last 10 years we've been coming to this church." You better believe it. Guess what? When I got back home, the pastor was so mad at me. He called me a hypocrite and all this kind of stuff. And I looked at him and I said, at that time I said, "Mike," I said, "pack your bags." He didn't answer, didn't say nothing. Packing my bag, his wife came and she said, "Brother Alfonso, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, I said, you ask your husband." I said, I ain't got time for that kind of nonsense. And then I looked at him, I said, "I'm not your problem, brother. God exposed something about you that you didn't like. Because you've been preaching out of memorizing scriptures for the last 20 years. And you haven't even read your Bible." I said, "You know that I know it." I said, "But brother, God bless you." I said, I "you know, you deal with it. You're going to have to do one thing. You're going to have to lie to the people or tell them the truth why I left. God bless you." Of course, it wasn't that cool for her to say that. But you understand what I'm saying? That many, many ministries are a threat to other people. Pastor is a threat, I'm telling you, to a lot of preachers. Because in the realm that he walks in. Something people don't understand about Jim Lillard. That man can walk in any room and authority walks in there. They don't even have to know him. He can walk in a place. Why? That man carries authority in his spirit. And the anointing of God. And you know what? You want to respect that. You know, think about it. Mr. Tennant came to see Pastor when he was in the hospital. Mechanic that does all the work, a lot of the work for Pastor and other people. He came in there. He came in. I was there when he came in. So graciously, such a gracious man. You know what he told me? I went and talked to him and I said, "Mr. Tanner, thank you so much, sir, for coming." I said, "What a privilege that you're here." "Well, Pastor Jim is a good man. He's an honest man. He's a good man. Done too much good work for people. He's an honorable man." He said, "My honor to go and stand by Pastor." That I'm aware of, he's not even a Christian. Maybe he is. I don't know. But here's people not even in the world recognizing something. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Those gifts or manifestations are available to you. And it's for everybody. It's not just for certain people. But there is an order to follow. And that's what Paul was trying to establish. To set in order how these gifts should operate and function. The Bible says, we go on in 14, chapter 14, about this. He's not the author of confusion. There's always order in the house of the Lord.